There's three places I would like to read with you. The first being in Exodus chapter 17. One of the words that kind of jumped out at me, actually the phrase in our Bible reading, "Ye did run well." And it was mentioned a couple times, steadfastness. That's kind of was on my mind as I was reading other verses, but it kind of seemed to all coalesce, and I just want to share some thoughts relative to starting off well, but maintaining that, or just being steadfast, The Galatians started well, but something happened. There are other things, obstacles coming in, whether it's people cutting them off, as we heard, or just obstacles of life, whatever it might be, but how to maintain steadfastness is maybe what is on my mind. And it's not something I'm going to holding myself up as an example of this. It's something I struggle with. So it's like, this is these things have been impressed upon me. So Exodus chapter 17. And actually, I'll just tell you right now, we're going to be looking at three different portions of the Old Testament. But there's a common word in each of them. That's the same word, just translated three different ways. So that's really what struck my curiosity with this and has kind of helped me along here. Exodus chapter 17. We'll start at verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. So that's the word, stayed up his hands. The one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steadied, here's the word, his hands were steadied until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And now go to beautiful chapter, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth to all generations. Maybe it says endureth there, but that really word was added. His truth, or his steadfastness, to all generations. And then in Habakkuk, this is the last mention. Exodus 17 is the first mention of this particular original word. And Habakkuk is the last mention. We were talking about tracing words in the Bible using our programs. But this is the last mention of this word. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It won't be stopped. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. And here's our third mention, third and final one that I want to look at today. The word faith, the word truth in Psalm 100, and the word steadied. They're all the same original word. So it really gives us an idea of what's being communicated when this original word was being used. And to me, it's just been encouraging to help think of resources for steadfastness. Resources for steadfastness. And in this first one, I just wrote over it, Helping hands, helping hands. We have this story, I think known well, Sunday school story, of a battle happening. And there's lessons here. Right after God blesses, and the same chapter as the water of the smitten rock, water's coming out, Amalek comes, and the challenge comes, and the Amalek, which is a picture of the flesh, is right there ready. And there's a lot of commentary written about this. But so there's this battle now between Israel and Amalek. And there's two parts in this battle. There's going to be Joshua and those fighting directly with Amalek. And there's going to be Moses, Aaron, and Hur up on the mountain praying and interceding. And there is two parts of the battle, both essential. And we see both connected. What's happening on the mountain has direct relevance to what's happening on the field. And there is a direct connection. And actually, it's not just a connection laterally, but vertically too, as Moses and Aaron and Hur, particularly Moses with the rod of God, the rod we understand that struck the rock, is now being lifted up in intercession to God. The one that provided water and help for them in the wilderness is now going to be a significant part of this battle against Amalek, which is a picture of the flesh. So there's Moses, Aaron, and Hur up on the hill, up on the mountain, and the others down fighting Amalek. Moses lifts up his hands. He's the one with the rod. He's the one that was appointed the leader. And to me, it's just, you see this man with all of this weight and pressure and realization, I'm praying for the people of God. And he's seeing the battle going on, and he has his hands lifted up. And some suggest maybe he's passing the rod from one hand to the other as the hours went on and on and on, or he's holding it like this. But in any case, we see Moses' hands were heavy. Moses' hands were heavy. I don't know if he felt this way, but he would have understood what I'm doing is essential. As he would have seen in verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Can you imagine how Moses felt holding up his hands and saying, oh, I just got to let a little blood get back into them. And whatever he was doing, and he's watching, and he's seeing Amalek now prevailing, and he's realizing what I'm doing is significant. What I'm doing is important. I'm not going to put thoughts and words in him, but he would have seen, it's recorded for us, to watch. His hands being up had a direct impact on the victory, on the progress of the people of God. And just significant to think what's happening on the mountain is as important as happening. And this is linked with prayer meetings for assemblies. It's also, some suggest, the intercessory, a picture of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ, unseen to us as we're going through difficult and challenging times. There's one who is interceding for us. And of course, his hands are never fail. His work is never weighted down by too much. But Moses felt the strain in verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone. He needed to be steady. He needed to know steadiness in his work for God. He could have said, this is what I was appointed to. I'm the one with the rod. I'm the one, if I could say, with the gift and with the responsibility. I have to do this myself. God has appointed me to do this. But we're thankful. And I know Israel was thankful that that wasn't his attitude. And we're also thankful, and what I appreciate, the men came along. They all went up together. I don't know if it was anticipated, but it, again, verse 10, Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. They knew, they went up there with, we understand, with a purpose of not just overseeing this battle that was going to be going on, but having this intercessory part. So Moses was already accompanied and already together with, in mindset, with Aaron and Hur. But he's the one with the rod. I'm thankful that, and I like the picture, not just the picture, but what's presented to us. They took a stone and put it under him. It's almost like no words were said. It was obvious that Moses had a great work to do. But is there any way we can help him? Is there any way we can help Moses in his intercession? And they took a stone and put him under it. And he sat down. I'm not going to sit down here in front of you. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steadied unto the going down of the sun. To the going down of the sun. So Moses, realizing what he needs to be doing, what he should be doing, and these other two men realizing, we need to help. How can we help Moses? How can we help Moses? And they do it. And they're holding up his arms. From the battlefield, I'm sure people could look up whether they saw the whole thing. The fact remained. The rod was raised. The rod was there. How that was steadied throughout the whole battle was the fact of three men. Three men working together. It was Moses' rod. But the fact was, the rod remained steady. Intercession as it was, continued incessantly for the people of God, for the army, and for Joshua. Moses wasn't too proud. We know he was, we're told, the meekest man. Wasn't too proud to have the men holding up his arms. And the men weren't too proud to say, oh, I'm willing just to do this. And so, because of the good attitudes of these three people working together, this great work for God was done. Intercession was done. And the army of Israel prevailed. And so I just like the picture, and really maybe the principle, of being steady in my life, in any work that I might have to do for the Lord, or any work that you might have to do for the Lord, to have an attitude like Moses, say, you know what? This is what I have known that God has called me to, whatever it might be. But that doesn't mean I have to go it alone and fight through every challenge and every obstacle. If there are people who are willing to help, by all means. Wonderful to have a companion. And I just wrote over this, helping hands. One way to be steadfast is to have helping hands, companions, fellow laborers. How many times it was pointed out actually in Galatians when we were reading that Paul didn't make any personal references in that book relative to the other believers. But in most of his books, he mentions fellow believers, those that strove together with him in the gospel. And time again, Paul mentions people that were laboring with him. When we see his stories of the Acts, Timothy, Luke, whoever it might be, Paul was the one that was called. We could read about that in Acts when he and Silas were, and Paul and Barnabas were called and sent out. But Paul always brought in people, included people, brought people with him, sent them there, helped to work in the gospel. And it's whatever our call might be, whatever our work might be, whatever our service might be that we know from the Lord, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to go it alone, but to know a companionship in the work. On the other side, what I appreciate is that, so I haven't been called. I'm glad he's been called. I'm glad she's been called to do that. It doesn't mean I could just sit back and watch them. And if they're struggling, say, well, they've been called. I'm sure the Lord will sustain them. I'm sure the Lord will help them. God bless you as you labor on days and weeks and months alone over there in your corner. I can certainly be praying for him, but is there anything else I can do? Is there anything else I can do? Wonderful to have the thought, the interest, the care that Aaron and Hur had. These weren't big names. Moses really was the one, was the shepherd that brought them out. These men were willing to take this place, to be thoughtful enough to say, Moses needs help here. Moses needs help. And we can do this. It's something small. And in the end, the rod stayed. It was three men. But I like these lessons. How to be steady. How to be steady in something that the Lord has called us to do is to be willing to have others help. And also to be willing to help. I think probably more could be said there, but I'll just move on to the next one. Helping hands. struggling to find steadiness in a work that you have, maybe there's somebody that will be a helping hand to you. Or if you know of somebody struggling in a work that they have, maybe you could be a helping hand to them. Now I want to go to Psalms. Psalms 100. And I'm not so much thinking about helping hands now as everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. But there's a beautiful psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And then we have these, what is it, seven commands. Make, serve, come, know, enter, be thankful, bless. Do all of these things. Instead of saying just do all of these things, which is it is an imperative there, as far as I understand, but it's an opportunity and it's our privilege to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, to serve Him with gladness, to come before His presence with singing, to know that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. We heard a little bit about this morning. His mercy is everlasting and His truth. And you really could put that word steadiness. His steadiness to all generations. His arm is never going to be too heavy for the burden, for the care. And when we think about all of His people, not just in one room like this here in Augusta, Maine, but believers, testimonies all over the world, and all the believers within those testimonies, and believers that for one reason or another aren't linked with that testimony, but are just believers out there, maybe feeling very alone. There's the Lord. And not just the ones in our time, but in every generation. His truth, His steadfastness is to all generations. To all generations of those that call upon. It doesn't have any clarification after that, but I'm just adding that. But to all those that are trusting the Lord, to all those that know the Lord, they could know His steadfastness and know that He's there. Very beautiful to me, the fact that we're even reading this. And I know the believers here who have even lived longer than me or shorter than me or have known the Lord or been on the Christian path longer or shorter know the truth and have experience. God was there. He was there. It's a testimony to the truth of these words written generations ago, written centuries ago. A psalmist, an unknown psalmist to us, wrote this statement. And we're the ones living to verify. It's true. It's true. It was written generations ago, but even to my day, to my generation in 2025, amazing that we've been preserved to this point. This is true. His steadfastness has continued all the way to my day, to your day. And we can be assured as long as until the Lord comes and even beyond into the generations of eternity, if we want to call it that. His truth endures. His truth endures. He's worthy of all of the worship, the service, entering in, the thankfulness, the blessing that we can give. And that's going to continue because He's going to continue. His steadfastness is never going to fail. We love those words that Moses wrote, the one that knew that his arms were steadied. Underneath are the everlasting arm. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, thinking about God, and there's many psalms and other, obviously, other places we could turn, but our appreciation of God expands in our experience through Christ, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit enlightening us. Our appreciation of who God is, how great, expands. And we, wow. And it causes us to worship. And it causes us to be thankful. And it causes us to make a joyful noise. But However, every time we reach a new level, if I can say it that way, just appreciation or something else we didn't appreciate before, He's always had that characteristic or always had that attribute or always... He's the unchanging God. As our appreciation of Him expands, we're just learning more about the God who has always been and into eternity as we continue to have our minds opened and our appreciation broadened of who God is. We'll continue to realize, but He's always been this way. We see snapshots of someone, maybe you've seen it, where they say a picture, this is when the child, when he was, sometimes you see it at weddings, sometimes you see it at funerals, you know, that you see the whole child, the whole person's life, and they're young, and then they're middle-aged, and they're older, and you can see all these snapshots. If we could see snapshots of the glory of God, it would be the same all the way into eternity, and as far off into eternity, which we will be a part of. By wondrous grace, God is never going to change. He can't be any more glorious than He is, and He's not going to diminish in His glory. He's always been this way. I was thinking, as during the Bible reading, when we were speaking about the love of God, His love was always what it was, what always was what it is. But the cross revealed it to us. But in eternity past, His heart was the same. And the love and appreciation for His Son, we can understand His Son was perfect and Son is perfect. And there was this beautiful relationship in eternity, as we're just speaking from human terms. But His love was always that. In His heart was a love that was revealed at the cross for sinners. But this was always the character and the caliber of a God who so loved the world, has always been a love that would love even me and even sinners. We understand that He had a love, an eternal love for the Son of God, but in the same eternal heart of God is a love that is so great that it reaches sinners and it reaches us and it sent His Son. He's the unchanging God, glorious and wonderful. His truth and that steadfastness is going to continue for all generations. All that God is, if I can say it this way, is available to all that know God and all that call upon Him. His steadfastness is not who He is to us in this day is not less than it was to those in a past generation, or Paul had a greater opportunity in his day to know God than we do. His steadfastness is to all generations. So to summarize, or just to close this out, how can I be more steadfast? Well, we have this resource. It might be others. Maybe the person sitting right next to me. I shouldn't look down at the person next to me, in this brother in assembly, because he could be a helping hand to me. Or I could be a helping hand to him. And just on the other extreme, there's the everlasting arms. They're never going to fall. What can be a help to us in our personal experiences, in our work, in our labors, in navigating Christian life? To know there's the unchanging God and His everlasting arms holding us up. Available, and actually so close. But I have to say, thinking about, it was announced last night about the conference and Uncle Jim, as I was just thinking about this psalm, this came into my mind. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, passing from Augusta, he ended up passing through gates and passing into courts, whatever they looked like, whatever his experience was, he entered in with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And it's just a happy thought to think of the reality of saints going from earth, whatever their experience is, to the next moment, passing into gates with thanksgiving and into courts with praise. That's the opening experience of eternity, the opening experience of heaven, passing into heaven's gates, thankful and with praise for Christ. And they just link together in my mind. But for us here, we have a great resource. And to say a resource is putting it on a level of anything else. To know God, His truth to all generations, His steadiness to all generations. And then going to Habakkuk. Moving on from helping hands, moving on from the everlasting arms, I'm just thinking now of a hidden structure, a hidden support. It was obvious to those that could see that there were hands holding up Moses' arms. The Lord is unknown or unseen, but to us we know it's an outside source. It's an outside companion. Paul could say, the Lord stood by me, even though no one else was there with him on the deck. He could know, the Lord stood by me. Still, someone from out. But Habakkuk, we read here in verse 4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. That's the wicked. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, we know that this is mentioned three more times in the New Testament. That's a very rewarding study, too. Tracing out the three mentions. But they don't add his faith here. The just shall live by his faith. By his faith. You know, I'm glad to be able to drive up to this conference with Dr. Higgins. And I appreciate being able to have shared experiences with him, especially post-1995, when I married his daughter, and we've had a lot of shared experiences. But I can't go through life based on his faith, or the faith that my wife has. You know, I have to go through life, even though I'm in close proximity with giants in some ways. I have to go through life. The just shall live by his faith, by his own steadiness. And that's not steadiness in himself, but there's obviously something that the believer is given. That's a hidden, you could say deposit, but I like to think of a hidden structure. There, just not long ago, it seemed like I was trying to cut down a weed or something, but it had wrapped around, it was a piece of metal that I didn't see, and I'm trying to cut this thing, and it wasn't cutting, but I realized it's because there was this piece of metal in there, it was part of a fence, and it was like, the shears are not, like, wow, like, what is happening to this, or what is not happening to this vine that's growing up, but there was something hidden that I couldn't see, and even plants look delicate, but their stem, there's something in the stem that supports the beauty of the plant or whatever it might be, or even as large as a tree. You know, you look at the trees, the leaves and the branches, but there's the center trunk that's holding it and keeping it upright. Within the believer, there is a resource, and it's really truth from God. The New Testament will expound on this, the Spirit of God, the truth of God, the Word of God, but it must be in us. And an experience through salvation, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are any things that can be brought together to make up what it is that's unseen, but there is this reality in a believer that will preserve them. And to know a steadiness based on the truth that they have come to appreciate, the truth that they have come to know with a God who's holding him, and with a Savior, and by the Word of God that they have, the just live by faith. Something unseen, but within every believer. We have these resources. And, you know, these are opportunities, weekends like this, to be introduced to people that someday may be just the helping hand that we need. And it may be the people back in our assembly when we're going to return, or maybe at visitors' assemblies. There's someone there that maybe, or you can be someone to somebody else, to be a helping hand, to help them, to be steady in whatever it is that they're doing for the Lord or just going through life, and to know the everlasting arms of the eternal God. What a indescribable reservoir, resource, companion that we have. But when we're home alone, or when we're alone in our office or in our dorm room or wherever it might be, in our car, to know that, you know, I'm really not alone, and I have the truth of God, and I have the Spirit of God. There are things that God has within us that are going to help us. And there are going to be plenty of times when we are alone that we're going to need to know, you know, what has God given me? What experience from the past have I gleaned something from? What was it that I was told at a conference that I didn't think, well, that doesn't apply to me? All of a sudden, in this situation, I realize that the word that I heard then is exactly what I need for this time right now. The Lord is not going to leave us alone. He's going to enable us in whatever trial it might be. And it's not that we have the strength ourselves, but we have been fortified within by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the person of Christ, whatever it might be. The just shall live by his faith. He's not living in the faith of others. We're thankful that God has given us these things for the truth that we have, that from generations ago, that we are the testimony to the veracity of it. It's true. It's true. There's value in co-laborers. There's a wonderful reality of knowing God moving with us. And it's a great blessing to be able to go through life. Others are rudderless, perhaps, neighbors, whatever it is. They may look at you and say, how is it you can stand in times like this? How is it you can move and navigate in life the way it is? How can you move in such pressure or under those circumstances? You say, well, it's the reality of knowing Christ as my Savior and having the Word of God. And sometimes we do have to stand alone, like characters in the Word of God. Sometimes we have to stand alone, but we're really never without resources, whether it's others, whether it's God, who's always with us, with the word and the faith that he has brought us into and allowed us to grow in.